somebody who knows John Beilein well and wrote a really good piece on it joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He is Dan Wolkin of USA Today. Morning, Dan. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm real well, man. I'm real well. So I really enjoyed your piece on John Beilein and that stuff. What kind of coach do the Cavaliers are? What kind of coach are the Cavaliers getting in John Beilein?
Well, I mean, obviously he's a terrific coach who's offensive system in college, I think, is in some ways a precursor to the way the NBA eventually went with the pace and the space. Although he didn't always play at the fastest pace, spacing the court, shooting threes, maximizing players' shooting ability. That's one thing about John Beilein that I think has been huge in his career, is that players shoot better when they get coached by him. I think they really teach technique, and obviously, in the NBA, I think that's a little trickier maybe than in college, just because you're dealing with professionals and not, developmental college kids. But I do think players who, are willing to be coached on their shot, who, maybe want to improve their jump shot, are going to really enjoy playing for him and having that teaching available. So it's an interesting hire. Obviously, you never know how it's going to go, and the Cavs are rebuilding, and so I don't know that this is going to be a transformative, like, you're going to make the finals right away higher. But I do think that Beilein in the NBA can work for a lot of reasons, his offensive system, I think, being the top of that list.
I always thought it was interesting, too, Dan, that he had Glenn Robinson III on there and Tim Hardaway Jr. And all of these kids of NBA players were choosing to go to Michigan over the other scholarships that I'm sure they were looking at and being handed. What is it about this guy that causes these former, these kids of former players to want to play with John Beilein?
Well, I think, it's interesting with a lot of those guys, they weren't necessarily the highest rated recruits. I mean, they certainly were, they certainly were good players and regarded as such in high school. But, I think that Beilein had a reputation for not cheating. He was... in college basketball, I think considered one of the most, straightforward guys, and his peers, I think, would all tell you that, if anyone did it as close to by the book as possible, it was him. And I think that appealed probably to, some of these former NBA players who, were just looking for the best situations. They weren't looking for necessarily the best deal, so to speak, but guys who had been through it and understood, paying the most money or, $100,000, $50,000 in the recruiting process, that's not what we're after here. We're looking for the guy who's going to be able to move the progress of the player forward the most. And obviously Michigan's an attractive situation, an attractive place for a lot of reasons. I know that may not play well in Ohio, but it is a good school. It's got a good basketball tradition and all that stuff. So I think that's probably why, and I do think it says a lot about the way he was perceived as a coach.
I mean, and it's honesty when it comes to Michigan. I mean, everybody here will openly admit it's a wonderful institution, and if you got a full ride to go to Michigan, you'd be an absolute idiot not to take it. So the interesting thing, though, is then they went out and got Juwan Howard to cover for Michigan. What do you think of the Juwan Howard back to Michigan, bringing back that Fab Five memories?
Yeah, it's going to be super interesting. Again, Juwan Howard would have been on an NBA, or I think was on a track to get an NBA job maybe at some point. It didn't happen for him, and I think Mark Spears wrote a really good piece about that for ESPN this week about, is there something to the idea that these, minority coaches who were former players are not necessarily getting the first call up in the NBA, but in college, where the diversity numbers among head coaches are pathetic and pathetically bad, that's a resource to go to these former NBA players, especially in an era where I think a lot of administrators and athletic directors have kind of been turned off by the typical, kind of rising assistant who probably made their name in recruiting. And given everything we saw in the FBI case, I think maybe administrators are a little more wary of those types, guys who maybe either they played or they didn't play at a super high level, but they made their name as recruiters. And I think maybe there's a bit of tide turning against those types, given kind of what we learned in the scandal.
Yeah, and this thing is, I mean, this scandal is never ending. I mean, we're still waiting on the FBI to give their full report, but even the stuff that keeps leaking out, Dan, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, and it's, look, we all kind of knew that there were shady things going on, but when it's all put out in front of you is when it really starts to hit you.
Oh, I mean, look, yeah, it's a dirty sport. It's a dirty business. You know, you're not going to typically get great players or five-star players in college basketball without some kind of deal being made. And, you know, I don't want to impugn everyone or say that that was true across the board, but I think we know it was true enough in a lot of cases that, you know, that there are things that if you want to get good players that you have to do. And that's the way it's been. And I don't know, you know, how much will change as a result of all this, but certainly, I think guys who maybe bring in a little bit of fresh perspective, guys who have bigger names, NBA players, guys who, you know, the recruits have heard of and have followed over the years, to give them a shot to see, you know, how they can recruit these players, I think is an interesting proposition, although the track record of success is admittedly kind of mixed at this point.
Dan Wolkin of USA Today joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. All right, Dan, you watch a ton more college basketball than I do. So help me out here. The Cavs are sitting at 5.
Yeah.
What about DeAndre Hunter should I like?
Yeah, you know, it's probably one of the worst spots to pick in the draft is around, you know, 5-6 this year, because the obvious guys will be off the board, and then it's just a matter of evaluation and who you like, and there could be a lot of different opinions, and that means you could be wrong, especially if you're kind of outside the consensus. And I like Hunter. I think he's going to be a really effective, you know, two-way wing, but I think the concern with him, and I think it's a fair concern, is, you know, maybe the upside isn't there. Like, what's his ceiling? Is it, you know, does he have a chance to be a superstar or even an all-star? I would say probably no. But can he be an effective, you know, good rotation player for you? Yeah. And if you feel like that's good enough, that's a good enough type of guy to get at number 5, well, he's a pretty safe pick. But if you feel like at pick number 5, you need to shoot for somebody who's maybe, you know, got all-star potential down the line, then maybe he's not your pick, and you go with someone a little more risky, high risk, high reward. So I think that's going to be the decision a lot of these general managers are going to have to face. And I think Hunter is one that maybe leans a little more toward the safe side.
So when you say high risk, high reward, Dan, who are you looking at?
Well, I'd say someone like Cam Reddish, you know, for instance. This is a guy who was top, you know, 3 player in his high school class, but went to Duke and didn't perform as well as people thought he should, and didn't shoot the ball very well, and at times maybe looked a little bit disengaged. But, you know, you look at his physical attributes, his wingspan, his athletic ability, what he did on the defensive end at times, really encouraging at Duke. So, like, there's a lot of things to like there, but if he goes into the NBA and has, you know, plays offensively the way he did in college, then he's not really going to be a very effective player. I think someone like Nasir Little, who didn't do a whole lot. He wasn't as bad, I think, or as disappointing as Reddish was at North Carolina, but he just didn't do a whole lot. So I think that's where, you know, a player like that, you really have to be careful to not dismiss just because he didn't have a ton of opportunity to do a lot at North Carolina.
All right, so that makes sense. So I got to ask you the ultimate high risk, high reward. Where do you sit on Bol Bol? Would you touch him in the top 10, or is that somebody you think should drop more?
You know, I didn't see enough of him, to be honest with you. I think
nobody did.
Yeah, I think, you know, I would be a little concerned based on his measurements at the combine. I mean, he was like 215 pounds or something like that, you know, which is a 7'2" person is just not very much. And, you know, so I'd have some concerns there, but he's obviously got a ton of offensive game and real unique skills for somebody that big. So he's going to be one of the most interesting players to peg you know, is he a legit top 10 guy, or does he end up in the 20, you know, the 20 range? Because people just kind of decide that, hey, we'll let somebody else take that risk.
He is Dan Wolkin of USA Today. All right, last thing for you, Dan. So I saw you tweeting about this last night, and it drove me nuts as well. The wonderful Art Briles news dump that took place, that he was hired at this high school in Texas at Mount Vernon, Texas. What are we doing? Why would some school even want to attach their name to Art Briles?
Well, I can't say I'm terribly surprised. I mean, Art does have sort of a cult of people in the state of Texas who, you know, believe that he was done wrong to a degree at Baylor. And, you know, he was a high school coach for a long time and was a highly successful one. And I think, you know, these high schools, especially in the state of Texas, it's big business, high school football. It brings in a lot of money. It brings in a lot of people. And Art Briles is somebody who, you know, is pretty likely to win. So, you know, you put all that together, and I certainly can see why they did it. But to do it, you have to convince yourself of a lot of stuff that I think is pretty hard to believe if you are a rational and sane person.
That's exactly how I feel. Thank you so much for the time, Danny. It's Dan Wolkin of USA Today. Enjoy your holiday weekend, man.
You too. Thanks.
No worries. You can read him on USA Today. He is Dan Wolkin. He's their national columnist. He's got a great piece on John B. lineup. He has another one about the college football playoffs. He's always a good read.